now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist, Susan Frank.
Hello, welcome to the show. Have you seen the commercials where dogs go to the refrigerators, get a bottle of some beverage for the guys on the couch, and bring it to them? We laugh and think that's really cute and amazing that a dog could be trained to do that. What if you didn't just want your dog to do that for fun, but needed your dog to be able to pick up things you drop, open drawers, and help with the laundry because you literally could not do those things? We're talking today about service dogs that help those in need. How are these dogs trained? Which people do they help? And what can you, the normal dog owner, learn from all this that will help you and your own dog live happier lives together? We're going to find out. Meet my guest, Jennifer Arnold, founder and executive director of Canine Assistance, a service dog school, and author of her brand new book, In a Dog's Heart, What Our Dogs Need, Want, and Deserve, and the Gifts We Can Expect in Return. Welcome, Jennifer. I'm thrilled to welcome you back to my show.
Well, thank you so much for having me back.
We spoke back in 2010 about your first book, Through a Dog's Eyes. We're going to be looking at some photos, and there will be a video that people can take a look at later on my website. But if you'd like to see the photos while you're listening, make sure you have the player window open on Talk Zone. You'll see me in the studio, and those pictures will automatically come on up on the player window. So, Jennifer, you have had much experience working with dogs, teaching them to do the kind of things that help people that most of us would not even imagine a dog being able to do. Yet, you do not like to call yourself a dog trainer.
Why? I'm not very good at it, honestly.
No, that's not the reason. Why is that, that you do not consider yourself a dog trainer?
Well, I mean, we don't focus quite as much. I mean, of course, we teach dogs to do behaviors on cue, but we focus much more on establishing relationship. So to me, my job is more about helping two different species learn to understand one another than it is sort of teaching the tricks.
And this ties into this unique perspective you have, because as we go through the show today, because, you know, we'll talk about some of the amazing things that you are teaching these dogs to do, you know, your dogs are doing things that most people don't have any need to teach, and they're very unusual. And we're going to talk in a minute about the style that you use, which is what you call choice teaching. And can you describe this for us? Because this is, I think, what will help people understand and why we don't call you like the official dog trainer, but you're teaching and you're using a very different style. Can you describe choice teaching?
Sure. Choice teaching is all about allowing dogs to understand what it is you want and then allowing them the opportunity to decide for themselves, to sort of buy in to what you're asking. So there's no force, no fear. We really try to go beyond the whole idea of operant conditioning and help dogs conceptualize what it is we're asking from them. And they're quite capable of doing that. Really, all dogs are capable of doing that. And by sort of showing the dogs that it is a pleasure to do as asked, making it a positive experience for them, it gives you sort of what we call long-term buy-in. You know, the dog decides, absolutely, last time I walked right beside her and I didn't pull on the leash, it felt great. So this is where I'm going to stay. It's a beautiful, easy way to sort of enhance that communication and help your dogs learn to do just exactly what you want them to do with no stress on either side.
And Jennifer, so we're talking about what's known as positive reinforcement training, but if people have heard those terms as opposed to some of the negative reinforcement or the adverse training where there is some fear and punishment involved, how would people know what the difference between what you're doing is and what they normally hear as positive reinforcement?
Well, it gets a little complicated, but,
yes.
But usually in sort of operant conditioning, in traditionally training a dog to react in a certain way to a particular cue, it's a very fast, I said sit, and boom, the dog sits. We try to teach dogs to think, now what is this she's asking and what is it I need to do in response? So our dogs are not as fast as sort of traditionally trained obedience type dogs, but they're very clever. So, for example, it allows them to learn to flip a particular switch in a particular location, and then allows them to understand that means the same thing and helps them generalize to other, similar circumstances with switches to flip.
So that everybody understands really what it is that your dogs are doing, let's kind of go back to what is canine assistance? What are you guys doing there?
We train dogs, service dogs, for people who have difficulty with mobility. And we also work with people who have epilepsy. Seizure response dogs are a particular interest of ours. And we work with a few other special conditions, but primarily we work with people who have difficulty with mobility and people who have seizures. So our dogs learn to do things like pick up dropped objects, tug open and paw close doors, turn lights on and off, go for help in an emergency. Sort of the typical, lassie behaviors.
Yes, which we all looked at and said, oh, we wish we could have a dog like that.
But Lassie had to live outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That was what was done back then. So these dogs wind up being sometimes lifelong partners with the humans that receive them. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, and so clearly we can see that these dogs do have to learn to think on their own in many different situations. So I liked where you said that's part of what choice teaching is doing. It's allowing that animal to use their brain and think through situations.
Well, and all dogs should learn to think through situations. I mean, it keeps them out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them to understand your expectations. They just don't speak human. And so, if you send your dog away to be trained somewhere and they teach the dog to do behaviors on command or on cue, as we call it, it's not always easy for the dog to then understand the same. It means the same thing coming out of your mouth or your child's mouth. Our dogs may not be as sort of rapid in terms of response time, but long term, they are great workers, but they're also great companions.
And we'll talk about a little bit of that also, because not only, I know you have like three designations when you kind of talk about your dogs, the service dogs, the seizure response dogs, and the companion dogs. And we'll have some photos and talk about that. But I do want to reset you here by telling everybody I'm speaking to Jennifer Arnold, who is the executive director of Canine Assistance, a non-for-profit school for service dogs, about which people are helped by the dog she teaches. Our phone lines are open today. It's Friday, October 21st. You can call 1-888-463-6748. That's, again, 888-463-6748. Or you can email me right now at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Jennifer a question. We're also looking at some photos during the show. So if you'd like to see them while you're listening, make sure you have the player window open on Talk Zone. One of your dogs, Jennifer, is actually going to be featured on a new television show called Everyday Health that will be airing on local ABC stations this Saturday, October 22nd, and I know it's airing in the mornings. In Chicagoland, it will be on WLS-TV at 11 a.m. Tell us about the dog and the person who have been paired together.
Well, it's actually multiple. You'll see multiple dogs, but in this particular TV show, we had sort of a spectacular thing happen in that a young golden retriever anticipated the oncoming seizure of this young man who has epilepsy immediately upon meeting this young man. And that's something that doesn't happen very often. And it was very startling to me and very exciting. And so it was really hard to film the rest of the TV show because I wanted everybody to sort of, you know, understand how incredible this was that this dog who had never met this young man did this immediately. It was just fabulous.
It's hard to kind of wrap my mind around this, and I'm sure you must be amazed all the time, aren't you, at what you see these dogs doing.
I took my out on book tour now, so I'm in a hotel in Seattle today, mm-hmm. and I have my traveling buddy, Butch, who is a big golden doodle. And we went out for a walk this morning, and Butch uncovered a stash of narcotics, I'm not making this up, under a bush at the post office down the street.
Well, now, okay. Has Butch has been, like, you know, working a second job?
We've been working on scent detection. However, I think whoever threw the narcotics out probably the window of the car, Homeland Security thought it was just an accident that it landed there, that they probably threw it out the window of a car when they were being chased maybe by the police. They must have been eating like fried chicken because he doesn't know the scent of narcotics.
Okay. Well,
but dogs are incredible. And he knew, though, I will say, there were pill vials involved, which is something that he routinely retrieves. And he knew that it was something important mm-hmm. for me to see. And so I was trying to convince him to move on, thinking that he'd found, you know, the remnants of somebody's lunch. And he would not allow me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show you that probably all of our dogs are so much smarter than we give them credit for. We just can't understand them when they try to explain things to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I know from speaking to some other people, in fact, Susanna Charleston, author of Scent of the Missing, that she talked about what I'm sure you've learned, trust the dog.
Right.
Trust their nose. They do know, and they can sense things way beyond. And I think we do have we want to dismiss it. We want to, in our impatience or, oh, you know, come on, what are you doing? Let's just go. We probably ignore a lot of communication, don't we?
We really do. And I think that's a shame. I ran into a woman in New York recently in Manhattan who stopped to admire Butch as she was walking down the road, and she told me that her dog at home, that is a 10-year-old terrier mix, had been just driving her crazy lately. And I said, driving you crazy doing what? And she said, well, he just won't leave me alone. He keeps pawing and sniffing at my leg.
Mm.
Okay. You need to see someone immediately. I mean, I didn't want to say, would you like for me to call 911? But mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm thinking, clearly the dog, I mean, it was the same place every time. Clearly the dog is trying very hard to tell you something. You need to have it checked out.
Do we know what the result of that was?
I don't yet, but she does have a doctor's appointment this week.
Good. So. Yes, we've heard the stories where, yes, dogs obviously can detect there's something different about the body part, and that's what they're alerting to. So, yeah, that's great.
But and the fascinating part to me is that they care enough about us to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, right. And I know in your new book, In a Dog's Heart, you tell many, many stories of what is really behind this bond that I think is so mysterious for us. You know, the human-animal bond and the dog-human bond of the love and the efforts to really work together that is both ways. So, yes, there's wonderful stories in that. I want to refer back to picture number 7 for a second because I want to focus on who can really benefit by these dogs. And let's talk about the seizure response or seizure alert dogs. And I noticed you have have a little puppy. This is an adorable puppy. And this is a young one training to become a seizure response dog. So let's talk about how do the dogs come to you, first of all?
In the snow, which we never have in Atlanta. So that was very exciting. Our first white Christmas last year in many, many, many years. But we mostly breed our own dogs at this point just because we need so many dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And because the dogs have to do things that so it's very intimidating for dogs who have not been acclimated to it all their lives, like go to the airport and, you know, sit through loud movies and go out to dinner and get under the table and never move. And so mostly we have a breeding program, and particularly with our dogs who work with folks who have epilepsy, while we think, we don't know a whole lot about this yet, but we're working on it, but we think that this is, you know, an odor-based detection. We've noticed that there is some genetic, you know, it may be that all dogs can detect, but we've seen that there is some genetic trait in certain bloodlines that we have. That makes the dogs more likely to learn to anticipate that a seizure is oncoming.
So, Jennifer, you're saying that someone, let's say, that has a dog that is prone to seizures, their dog sometimes will signal them or warn them that a seizure may be imminent?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm sorry. There are dogs, and while we train what we call seizure response dogs, and we're very careful to say that, because at this point in time, no one knows for certain how to teach a dog to recognize that a seizure is oncoming mm-hmm. in a patient who has epilepsy. But our dogs can help in other ways when they have a seizure by going for help or retrieving medication, et cetera. Almost, we're at the upper 80%, about 87 to 88% of the dogs we place develop the ability to anticipate seizures oncoming within the first year after placement.
Oh, that's fascinating. And so that would allow a person maybe just to prepare or be in a good place for it?
Well, and there are times that they can stop it. I mean, there is a device that can be implanted called a vagal nerve stimulator that through the vagus nerve sort of sends a pulse of electricity to the brain that can reduce the severity and even prevent some oncoming seizures. So these dogs are like superheroes.
That is remarkable. There's a picture number 9 also of a little miniature pincher who is actually somebody's seizure alert dog. And I know she posted it on your Facebook page, which we do have a link to. And she mentions that this is Isabella Miller Eberlin, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, says Josephine is like her other half and has really helped her. Are you familiar with Josephine?
I don't know Josephine mm-hmm. personally, but I think she's just about the cutest little thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. At first, I didn't realize what kind of dog it was until Isabel listed that she's a miniature pincher. Well, we're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and when we come back, we'll talk about exactly what some of the other work that the dogs do and your own story of how and why you first became involved with this work. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.